Sorry. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our public lecture this evening. Our speaker, Mr. Stuart Mansfield, is going to lead us in a consideration and, well, as the title says, an exploration of Bible teaching about Satan. To introduce our lecture this evening, because it is based upon the Bible, we're going to read a chapter from the Bible, a chapter very relevant to the subject for this evening. So we're going to read together Job chapter 1, that rather dramatic Bible reading serves as an introduction to our lecture this evening to the title. It's really an invitation, Explore Bible Teaching About Satan, Mr. Stuart Mansfield.
Well, thanks very much, Stephen. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen and young people. Thank you very much for making the special effort to come out tonight to listen to this Bible-based address on Satan, and more specifically, the word Satan as it is found in the Bible. What we plan to do this evening, God willing, is we were going to start at the very start, and we're going to make our way right through the Old Testament all the way into the New Testament and explore what we can find about Satan. Now, it's a received doctrine that's taught by many churches around us that the Satan is a supernatural being, sometimes referred to as the devil, who is the source of all evil, who is an immortal enemy of God and all his followers. So without any further ado, let's get into the detail of the Old Testament. People do say that the devil is in the detail, so let's go looking tonight and see if we can really find it there. Now, just as an overview, Satan is a Hebrew word. Satan is, in fact, a very ordinary Hebrew word. What it means simply is adversary. It's also quite unusual because Not only does it appear 27 times in the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew, it also occurs in the New Testament, even though the New Testament was written in Greek. And so it's unusual for a Hebrew word to occur in a Greek document. But what makes it almost more unusual is the fact that this Hebrew word occurs 36 times in the New Testament. And so the Hebrew word Satan appears more times in the Greek New Testament than it does in the Hebrew Old Testament. Our subject this evening is Satan in the Bible, and I'm going to show you, God willing, that there are in fact 9 Satans in the Old Testament alone, and at least 3 Satans in the New Testament. And most of them are just ordinary men, and one example is a woman. Now, you might think this is quite a bold claim to suggest that there are 9 characters in the Old Testament who are called Satan, particularly if you have only ever been taught that there is one Satan or one devil. So now we're going to look at each and every occurrence, to all 27 of them, of the word Satan in the Old Testament and see if we can identify who they are. I acknowledge this is probably a slightly different approach to this lecture, but I just want to try and show you very plainly that the Bible from start to finish does not teach a supernatural Satan. And what better way to do that than actually go to the occurrences where Satan is found? Now, in the Bible, sometimes we find that the Hebrew word Satan is translated as some other words, sometimes adversary, sometimes other things. And so, for ease this evening, I've put a bold and underline on the Hebrew word Satan as it appears in the verses we're going to turn up, just so that you can see them on the slides, and if you're so inclined, you can double-check my slides later. So let's have a look together at the first and second occurrence of the word Satan. This is found for us in the book of Numbers and chapter 22, in verses 22 and 23, and then again in verse 32. And we read there, "And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him." That word adversary there is our word Satan. "Now he was riding upon his ass, and the 2 servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass and turned her into the way." And then in verse 32 we read, "And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these 3 times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee." That's our word Satan again. "Because thy way is perverse before me." So this is our first 2 occurrences in the Bible in the Old Testament. And so if we just pause for a moment there before we explain what these verses are, we're in the book of Numbers. This is the 4th book of the Bible. And before this, there is no mention of Satan by name. If he was this supernatural being, enemy of God, why is he not mentioned until the book of Numbers? What's he been doing all this time? Well, in these verses in Numbers, we find that the angel of the Lord was an adversary. Now, that might surprise you, but because Satan simply means adversary, not an evil adversary, so the first 2 uses of the word Satan in the Bible are to refer to an angel doing God's work. So now let's look at our 3rd occurrence. Our 3rd occurrence is found in the first book of Samuel, chapter 29 and verse 4. And it says there, "And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us, or a Satan to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men?" So this is our 3rd occurrence, and the adversary in this occurrence is a man named David. And the princes of the Philistines call him an adversary because they were concerned that he would cause treachery against them. They were concerned that when they went out to war against Israel and he was with them, that he would turn against them and fight for Israel's armies rather than their armies. And so King David, one of the ancestors of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the 2nd adversary of the Bible. He is the 2nd Satan of the Bible. Now let me show you something really interesting about this Satan. Because this Satan, we read about him in Acts chapter 2 and verse 29, where it says there, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David," that's the person that was mentioned in 1 Samuel 29, "that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day." So this Satan is dead. So the term Satan does not imply immortality or indestructibility, because this particular Satan is dead and buried, and it was declared as such in the days of the apostles. So on to our next occurrence then. Our next occurrence is in the second book of Samuel, chapter 19, and verse 21 and 22. We read there, "But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, 'Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?' And David said, 'What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me?'" That word there is Satan's, "unto me. 'Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel?" So this is our fourth occurrence. Here David calls the sons of Zeruiah adversaries, or Satans. They are named in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18 as Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. At the time of the writing of this verse in 2 Samuel 19, Asahel was already dead. And so the description refers to the two sons of Zeruiah who are still alive. Their names were Joab and Abishai. So now we've identified four of the Satans of the Old Testament: the angel of the Lord, David, Joab, and Abishai. But take a look again at 2 Samuel 19 there, because the Hebrew word for Satan in verse 22 is plural. And this is important because we know for sure now that the Hebrew word Satan cannot be a title or a name of one single supernatural being. Because for absolute sure, there are several Satans in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word here puts it as a plural, so there must be more than one. And the Bible also tells us that this Satan is also dead. Joab's death is recorded for us in 1 Kings chapter 11. It says there, "And when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers," David was one of the Satans, he's dead, "and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead," he's one of the Satans, he's dead, "Hadad said to Pharaoh, 'Let me depart that I may go into mine own country.'" So now we've got further evidence here of another Satan that's died. So let's have a look at our next occurrence. Our next occurrence is in 1 Kings 5, verse 1 to 4. And we read in those verses, "And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, 'Thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary," or Satan, "nor evil occurrent.'" So this is our fifth occurrence of the word Satan. And here there is a Satan who is not named and did not exist. What the verse is telling us is that no Satan or no adversary opposed Solomon as he built his temple and God established his reign. So we can discount this one from our list. On to our next occurrence then, a few chapters over, in 1 Kings chapter 11. And verse 14, it says, "Then the Lord stirred up an adversary," or Satan, "unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom." So this is our sixth occurrence. Here, Solomon, king of Israel, had an adversary or a Satan named Hadad the Edomite. He's the fifth adversary of the Old Testament. He's named, and importantly, he's just a man. He's not a supernatural being. And as you can see in verse 21 there, this is really a very unusual verse in the Bible because it mentions Hadad, David, and Joab. And all three of these men are called Satans in the Bible. And so we have a verse where there's three Satans all mentioned together. And the Bible actually tells us there that two of those Satans are dead. So let's recap on our progress so far. We've looked at six occurrences. We've found five Satans. One didn't exist. One was the angel of the Lord, and the rest were men. The death of two of them are recorded in the Bible. None are said to have horns or tails or to be supernatural enemies of God. So let's continue our search. Next, we come to 1 Kings 11, verse 23 and 25. And God stirred up another adversary, or Satan, Rezin, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadad-Ezer, king of Zobah. He was an adversary, or Satan, to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did, and he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. So this is our seventh and eighth occurrence. Here is another Satan of Solomon called Rezin, the son of Eliada. We know his name. We know his father's name. He wasn't a supreme being because the verse there actually tells us that he was an escaped slave who used to serve a person called Hadad-Ezer, king of Zobah. So he is the sixth Satan of the Old Testament. Our next occurrence in the Bible is in the book of Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1, it says there, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. So here is our ninth occurrence. And here we have another adversary of David, or another Satan of David. Well, who was he? Well, if we look at 2 Samuel 24, verse 1, which is a parallel chapter of 1 Chronicles 21, we read there, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. So here God himself has been an adversary against David. So this adversary is the same as our first adversary, God himself, or the angel of the Lord, who we already have on our list. So far we've identified six of the Satans in the Old Testament. Now, this verse is a little bit unusual because David, we saw, was one of our Satans, and the angel of the Lord was another one of our Satans. And so here in this verse, we have a Satan being a Satan to a Satan. And just remember that, because we're going to see what Jesus Christ has to say on this a little bit later on. Now, before you think we're taking far too long to go through this list, let's see if we can speed things up. Let's turn over to our chapter for this evening in Job chapter 1. And we're going to go from nine uses of Satan, and we're going to jump our list all the way up to 23. So found in Job chapter 1 all the way through to chapter 2 verse 7 is the next group of Satans that brings us from 9 to 23. 14, I think it is. And because there's so many, I think it's worthwhile turning them up, because there's a couple of references that we're going to look at within the pages of this chapter. So we read in Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also amongst them. And then we read again in chapter 2 verse 1. Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So this person, he appears to be one of the worshippers of God, who came and presented themselves before God. And to this person, he was given power to afflict God's servant Job. In Job 1, verse 11 to 12, he said, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. This is the Satan speaking to the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. But really important that we need to think here is that he did not have this power himself. See what it says in Job chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou, Satan, movest me, God, against him, to destroy him without cause. Again, if you have your Bibles there, it's not on the screen, sorry, but verse 10 over the page, this is Job speaking to his wife. He said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? So he acknowledged there that good and evil came from God's hand. It wasn't the Satan's power that was doing it, it was God. He says the same things in his speeches. So in Job chapter 19, in this chapter, verse 6, 8, 13 and 21, he says these things. Now know that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. He, God, hath fenced up my path that I cannot pass, and he, God, hath set darkness in my path. He, God, hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintances are verily estranged from me. This is Job speaking in. Have pity on me, have pity on me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. And then in the last chapter of the book of Job we read, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every man an earring of gold. And so these verses very, very importantly teach us it was not the Satan that had the power to move against Job and to cause evil to happen to him. It was God himself, and God testifies that to us. Now, of this actual Satan that is referred to in the early chapters, I don't know the name of this person. His identity can only be inferred. There seems to be a strong inference that he was one of the worshippers of God who presented himself before God. He's our seventh Satan of the Old Testament. He had no supernatural powers. He isn't mentioned as wielding a pitchfork against Job. He appears from the record to just be a common person. So then let's have a look at our next occurrence. This is for us in Psalm 109, verse 6. It says there, set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. So this is the 24th occurrence of this word Satan. He's simply an unnamed wicked man. And the psalmist asks that this wicked man should have an adversary or a Satan. But he wasn't actually an unnamed man, because if you look at verse 8, it says there, let his days be few and let another take his office. And so this person is actually identified for us in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 16, 17 and verse 20, I believe it's Peter who stands up and says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his, that is Judas, his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. And so the psalmist is speaking of a wicked man named Judas Iscariot, who would be an adversary or a Satan. And what he did, and the person who stood at his right hand, I think is explained for us in Luke chapter 22 and the first four verses. We read it, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. Now the adversary didn't literally enter into Judas. It was probably the words of the chief priest that entered into his ears and led him to join the conspiracy that the chief priest had. It was probably just a prominent member of the priesthood who was the Satan or the adversary of Judas, and who is our eighth Satan of the Old Testament. Now on to our next occurrence then. Our next occurrence is in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And so here are our last three occurrences making 27 in total. The references here are of an adversary of a high priest called Joshua, who was, and so who was it who opposed Joshua? Well, again, we don't need to guess. It's revealed for us in the Bible. There was a man who wrote, his name was Ezra, and he was contemporary with Joshua the high priest, and they worked together in restoring Jerusalem and building up the temple in Jerusalem. And in Ezra chapter 4, verse 1, we read there, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, these people wrote a letter unto the king of Persia. And the king of Persia, his name was Artaxerxes, he replies to their letter in verses 17 to 21, which forbade the work of building the temple. We read there, "Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia." So this king is the one who stood against Joshua and resisted him. So the final ninth adversary or Satan of the Old Testament was a Persian king called Artaxerxes. Now he is said to stand at the right hand of the angel of the Lord in Zechariah simply because that is the Bible way of explaining that this king was made by divine appointment. The Bible teaches us that the powers that be are ordained of God. Now, the usage of the word Satan in Zechariah and in the book of Job, it differs from all other previous usages. In all previous usages, it's used without a definitive article. But in Job and in Zechariah, it's used with a definitive article. In other words, it is the Satan, not just Satan. So some scholars have acknowledged that in most of the Old Testament, Satan is simply an adversary. But because of the definitive article in Zechariah and in Job, Satan must therefore be a supernatural power. If this is the case, how strange that this Satan only makes two appearances in the whole of the Old Testament and is completely absent from the first five books, the book of Moses. This seems like minor evidence to base a whole theology and mythology on the word "the." But is it true? Is it true that whilst, as we've seen, the Hebrew word Satan is simply an ordinary noun, when it's used with a definitive article, does it become a proper noun? Does it become a title? Is it a name of someone? Well, let's have a look at what Jesus Christ has to say on this matter. So Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 12 and calls into question the popular belief of Satan in his day. And he says in Matthew 12 and verse 26, "And if the Satan cast out the Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" So here in the original Greek text, the definitive article is used. But if you look in the record of Mark, in Mark chapter 3, "And he called unto them and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan?" And so in this verse, there is no definitive article used in the Greek text. And so this so-called distinction that the scholars make is not a distinction that Jesus made himself. And notice something really important on this subject of the Satans. He spoke in parables, it says, and the characters in parables aren't real. They're fictional stories. And finally, remember that verse in 2 Samuel. Christ taught that the mythical Satan believed in by the Pharisees couldn't stand against Satan. But given that the Bible teaches Satans are just adversaries and not the stuff of fantasy, Christ had no difficulty with the Lord, the angel of the Lord being one Satan, standing against David, another Satan. So in our explorations of the Bible tonight, we've seen that there are nine Satans in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord, David, King David, Joab, Abishai, Hadad, Rezin, an opponent of Job, one of the chief priests, and lastly, King Artaxerxes. not a supernatural devil among them. Eight of them were men, six of them we know the names of. All eight are dead, and the death of two of them are actually recorded in the Bible. And even God, in his wisdom, was an adversary or a Satan to his prophets and to his kings when it suited his purpose to do so. And reading these verses together, you notice a rule emerges in the 27 that we've looked at. If the Satan is named, it's just translated as an adversary. But when the Satan is not named, the translators use the word untranslated as if it's a proper noun. And this is what is called translational bias, and it was made by the bishops of the Church of England who translated the King James Version. It's translation influenced by a misunderstanding of the Bible. Really, what we should do is we should be consistent and we should translate the Hebrew word as the adversary, which is what it means. And finally, as we've seen, all the nine Satans of the Old Testament, nowhere in any of the verses have we found anyone who's mentioned horns or tails, no one. And so with a little bit of time left, I want to see if this same treatment is carried forward into the New Testament. We're just going to look at a couple of verses. The first being the interactions of Jesus himself with one of his disciples. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23, Jesus says, "And he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And so this verse tells us that one of the Satans of the New Testament was a disciple of Jesus himself. His name was Simon Peter. He was not some supernatural being or devil. Peter was a simple Jewish fisherman who had been called to be a disciple of Jesus. He's simply a man who opposed or was an adversary to Jesus at a certain time. Now, let's look at one last occurrence before we close tonight. And I think it might be worth turning this one up. This is found for us in the book of Acts, chapter 5. And in Acts chapter 5, we're introduced to the story about a man and a woman named Ananias and Sapphira who sold a piece of land and decided to keep part of it back for themselves and then went and presented what they had supposedly sold the land for to the Apostle Peter. And we read in Acts 5, verse 3, "And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Now, this verse uses the distinctive article. And Peter asked Ananias why the Satan has filled his heart to lie. But can we find who this Satan was? Well, look with me a little bit further down in the verses of verse 8 and verse 9. Because after Ananias has died and is carried out by the young men, his wife comes to Peter and Peter asks her, in verse 8 and 9, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out." And so there we have it revealed for us. The Satan that had filled Ananias' heart was in fact his wife. Not a supernatural creature, simply his wife that had convinced him that they should lie when they present their money to the Apostle Peter. And the verse is also unusual as well because, as we saw before, Peter was once called Satan. So here we have a verse telling us that Satan conspired to lie to Satan. All seems a little bit strange until you understand and accept the Bible teaching that Satan is nothing more than a term for an adversary. And so to bring our exploration to a conclusion, when we lie and we commit evil, we cannot blame a supernatural Satan or a devil. There just isn't one. The Bible does not teach one. I've showed you all the nine Satans of the Old Testament and two of the Satans of the New Testament. And most of them are just common men and women. The fact is that we must personally take responsibility for our own actions, and we can't blame them on some imaginary being. The Satan of the Bible is simply a person who is an adversary. And so hopefully you've found this exploration of the Bible teaching on Satan interesting and informative. I pray that it sparked your interest to investigate these things further and to discover other teachings contained in the Bible so that you can be informed in the ways of God and his wondrous gospel and serve him in truth. There's probably never been a more important time or a more important or urgent time in the history of the world to search the Bible and really understand the gospel message of God. And so we pray that you will make use of these last days wisely before Jesus Christ has returned. Thank you.